Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. You know, whenever I come to preach the word in the studio, I come with such an excitement and an expectation that the Holy Spirit will move powerfully and that the lives of millions of people will be impacted through the message that will be ministered. So I believe there's nothing different about that today. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch you. He's going to open your mind, give you an enlightened mind to understand more of the gospel of grace, to understand the resurrection power of Jesus Christ better and who you are in Christ in different areas of your life. You know, whenever we want to study something in the Scripture, we want to look at different topics in the Word of God, we need to know that there are certain things that we have to have in place in order to make a conclusion. If we say that God says, we must know that God says. You know, there are so many people that say God says and then God never said. So if we want to use the name of God, we should not use His name in vain or for something that is just vanity or emptiness. But it must have purpose. It must have Jesus Christ, His obedience, Him becoming a human being, His death, His resurrection and His ascension where He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All of that must be included in what we want to say. I don't care if a scripture is quoted by whoever in the Bible, by Paul or Peter or James, or doesn't matter where it's written in this book, it must line up with a gospel scheme. It must line up with what I call gospel sense. If it's not gospel sense, I can go as far as saying it is not the Word of God. So let's open our hearts to the Word of God today, to the message of grace, and we're going to talk about money, about finances. So you can read with me from Matthew chapter 6, and when we read this, I want you to know that this series that I do on finances is not there to try and see how much money you can give into my ministry. That's not why it is there. I believe that this is only there to teach you. Giving is not about getting. It's about being generous. So I don't want you to give so that I can just gain out of you. All I want to tell you that is flow with generosity that's in your heart. The principle for giving to me, the basic principle, the foundation of everything is love. The Bible says, even if I give all my things to the poor, and even if I burn my body for the gospel's sake, but I don't have love, I am nothing. So the bottom line of all giving is generosity. Now, the word grace means it's the divine influence in the heart, the acting out in the life that includes gratitude. So giving that flows from the basis of understanding grace is what I would call acceptable in the kingdom of God. We've made a study on grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:28 that receive grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. So if you want to serve God acceptably concerning your finances, you need to receive grace in the area of your finances. So please see these sessions as a place where we teach the Word of God, where I teach the Word of God. Don't be just waiting for me to say, I must give you must give me money or something like that. Now, like I said, if it flows out of generosity, it's accepted and will not be rejected. Now, let's open the Word of God in Matthew 6, verse 24, and see what the Lord says there. Now, before I read this, I must just say this. This scripture was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got an English Bible, you will see it's in red. Now, that means Jesus said it. So, this is not written for the purpose of condemning you. This was not written so that we could see sin in our lives. So, it doesn't have a law mentality behind it, like you would read in early in Matthew 6 or in Luke chapter 6, for instance, where Jesus actually said things where you could experience condemnation out of that so that you can see you need a Savior, lifting the level of the law. Now, what he says here is actually to help people to be set free from finances. No man can serve two masters, For either will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, when I read this, I believe God gave me a specific revelation about this. You cannot serve two masters, for you will either hold to the one and despise the other one. So, you will either hold to God and despise money, or you will hold to money and despise God. And God doesn't want either of the two. God doesn't want you to cling to Him and despise finances. Because how will you live? If you say, well, I'm such a big Christian that I despise money, the reason for that is because you are still serving both. Now, we get a lot of vain humility and false humility where people believe that poverty is holiness or piety. So, I don't believe that poverty is godliness. Just like what I don't believe that having a lot of money is godliness. Godliness is not determined by what you own. It's determined by who owns you. It's not by what you own. You are godly because of the fact that Jesus died for you, that you are resurrected with Him and seated with Him. Godliness flows out of God. It doesn't flow out of you. So, God doesn't want you to serve God and money. If you're a servant of money and God, both of them, you either cling to God and despise money, or cling to money and despise God. You'll either love God and hate money, or you will hate money and love God. God doesn't want either of the two. So, but, you know, it's a big thing in the lives of people these days because, and all the time, we need money. Now, how are you going to serve God without money? You cannot do it. How are you going to live in this life without money? You need money in this life. So, God came and He made it easy for us. And He said that the fruit of serving both is that you will not have a balanced life when it comes to finances and your walk with God. Then He made it easy. He said, therefore, because it is so, now, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor of your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Or the King James says, are you not much better than they? Now, you must look at me carefully. This is really such a deep thing. Because what he's saying, he's actually saying, listen, you can't serve God and money. Now, you need money. So, you'll basically have to worry about certain things. But then God said, listen, all you do is, you serve me. And I'll take care of the money. So that you don't serve both. So that you will not either love God and despise money or the other way around. So, for you to have a balanced life financially, to prosper in your relationship with God, and to prosper in your finances, you need to leave the money-making thing to God. Now, you know, that is so difficult for Christians because we always want to do something to get God to bless us. Now, God said clearly through Jesus Christ, I mean, these are the words of our Redeemer. He said clearly, you only take care of what is very valuable, and that is the message of righteousness. And we're going to look at that a little bit further on. And as you look at the message of righteousness and leave the money thing for me, you will have both. That's what he says. So God does not want you to hate finances or to despise finances. Otherwise, your children is not going to walk blessed in this world. Your wife's not going to be blessed. You're going to struggle. And poverty is going to have a hold on you. And you will always be in a desire and in a want and in a need. And you will not walk in the salvation that God has brought for you in Jesus Christ concerning finances. Now, before I continue with that, I must say this. If we fail to connect finances to the cross, we will fail to experience, and we will not experience, the salvation that there is in the cross from poverty. We need to be saved from poverty. You cannot work your way out of poverty. You need to be saved from poverty. The word saved or salvation in the Greek includes salvation in every area of life. You know, Kenneth Copeland said it so powerfully. He said it's to be made well, spirit, soul, and body, and in your pocketbook. So it is salvation in every area and every aspect of life. Now, when we look at finances and we connect it to the cross, we experience the removal of the curse of poverty because of the cross. And we experience the resurrection into newness of life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our finances. So never fail to apply finances to the cross. That means Jesus died so that you don't have to be poor. And He was resurrected so that you can have the wealth of God. Man, that is such a powerful truth. If you can just meditate upon that, you will find that will just renew your mind, your whole thinking will change, and there will be a rest and a peace that will outweigh every type of rest or peace you've ever experienced concerning finances. We need to come to a place where we can have the same peace in our finances that we have when it comes to salvation, or let me put it this way, which is simple to understand. I know this is not a real kingdom way of thinking of this, but if you die, you know you're going to go to heaven because of Jesus that is in you. And because Jesus died for you, because He paid for your sins, because of the blood of Christ, because of His blood, because He became sin, you were made the righteousness of God. Therefore, in the resurrection from the dead, you will be resurrected and you will be with God forevermore. You will rule and reign with Jesus. You know that. Why do you know that? Because of the cross. And there's a certainty in you that you are willing to give your life for. If somebody says it's not like that, you must deny that or we'll kill you. You'll rather say, you can kill me, but I cannot deny this, for it is the truth. You are very sure of your point. Now, why can't we have that same surety when it comes to finances? Because if you can connect finances to the cross, you can have the same surety in finances as what you've got when it comes to salvation or healing, redemption, any of those things. So, in these sessions, we're going to look at money on the cross. Hallelujah. No man can serve two masters, so God said, listen, all you do is just serve one, that is me, and I'll take care of the finances. Now let's go to verse 26, and this is really an outstanding scripture. It says, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? So what does he say here? He comes and he wants to explain to us the principle for provision in the kingdom of God. I believe the greatest principle for provision ever taught by any man that has ever walked the face of this earth was Jesus Christ Himself when He explained provision in Matthew 6. To me, there's no deeper revelation about money than Matthew chapter 6. He says, look at the fowl of the air. Now, he's talking about the principle by which God provides for people. Look at the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Now, what he's saying is that the birds of the air are not putting in effort to do anything to get God to bless them. They sow not, they reap not. They don't gather into barns. It's basically like you not having a job. It's almost mind-boggling what Jesus said here. He says they're not sowing, they're not reaping, they're not gathering into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? So what is the basis of provision in the kingdom of God? It's worth. God provides for the birds because they are worth something to Him. The Bible says there's not one bird that will fall from the sky without God knowing it. Now the Word of God says that if He cares for the birds who's got a little worth to Him, enough to care for them, how much more you, O you of little faith? That's what He says. So God determines His the worth that you have by the basis of what He was prepared to pay for you. If you take a very expensive painting or a very cheap painting, the value of that painting is not determined just by somebody that just says, "Well, this is worth 200 rand." No, if it goes to an auction, it will be determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. And He looks at who painted it. If He sees who painted it and He knows that this is a well-known artist, He will say, "Man, I can pay a lot of money or I can pay a little money for this, depending on who painted it and if it's beautiful or not." Now, the value that you have for God is based on what He was willing to pay for you. And He was willing to pay for you with the blood of His own Son. So you are worthy of Jesus Christ Himself. Not because of your good works or your righteous deeds, but because of the decision and the will of God. He just chose you and that's it. You're a victim, man. Hallelujah. He chose you. You are valuable to Him. So, if He cares for the birds, He will care for you. God cares on the basis of worth. Now, I've got three sons. And, you know, I will care for them better than what I will care for children on the other side of town. Now, the reason why I will do that is because they are worth more to me than they. But if I see somebody on the other side of town really suffering, I will help him. But my son, I never want him to suffer. I never want him to even go through a hard time once. I want to help him. I want to bless him. I want to give him the best that I can. Why? Because he's worth something to me. I experience love for him. He's worth something. He's my son. He's born out of my own blood. He's flesh of my flesh. So I want to care for them. Now, the same way with the kingdom of God. You don't have to go and say, "Lord, have I obeyed every principle that there is to obey in order for you to provide for me?" Now, I don't say that we are not supposed to give. I don't say that we are not supposed to give to men of God. I mean, how will I preach the gospel if people don't give towards the ministry? Because the Word of God clearly says that those who preach the gospel must live off the gospel. Amen. So that's just the basic principle by which we as preachers receive money, and we've got a right by the Word of God to receive finances that way. But what I want to say, when you talk about you receiving finances, the basis on which you receive it is your worth before God. And the basis on which I receive it is my worth before God. So God will go to great lengths to work in the hearts of people to see that I prosper in giving towards the ministry. In the same way with you. God will go to great lengths to work in the hearts of people to see that you get an increase in salary, that you get a better job, that you get business coming your way. Because you are worth something to Him and not just something. You are worthy of the Christ. Amen. Now let's go to verse 27. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now you see what God does here is He says that if you cannot believe that God will just clothe you because you are worth a lot to Him, it's because you are of little faith. Great faith and small faith is measured by how much you believe you are worth to God. If you believe that you're not worth a lot to God, it's because you've got little faith, little persuasion in what happened upon the cross. So know that God will provide for you, and you don't have to have little faith. Look at the grass out there. There's beautiful flowers in that grass. You know, the lilies of the field, they are there. Go and look at, and I'm thinking of when you drive on the roads, especially in the Western Transvaal, you get all the cosmos flowers. They're so beautiful. And it's just in between the grass. That's just where it stands. And if God so clothed the grass, which is today there and tomorrow burnt, and the way they are clothed is even better than what Solomon was clothed with, all the finances he had and all the blessings that he had. The context here is money. So if God clothed the grass like that, you are worth more to Him than grass. And what does the grass do to God or to anybody in order to receive that blessing? Nothing. It's just God blessing, God giving. Now, I want to tell you, it works the same with us. Now, you might say, Bertie, that is just too simple. Well, if you think that's too simple, you've got some studying to do in the Scripture, because that's the way it is. And if you cannot believe it that way, my friend, you're going to struggle. You're always going to be busy with something somewhere, which is just going to keep you so busy in works that you're never going to receive the true prosperity that there is in Jesus Christ. You must realize that there is two types of glories in the Bible. The Old Testament glory and the New Testament glory. And the Old Covenant was a glory that passed, that faded away, which was kept up and held up by man. But in the New Testament, there's a glory that outweighs the Old Testament glory by far. And that is the glory that there is because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, the work of Jesus Christ prospers you. And let's go and look at a scripture that just says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 9. Now, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is the collection of finances for poor churches. So, we are talking about money. The context is money. You know, I've always, when I quoted this scripture to people, they said to me, no, but the context is not money. It's just God blessing you in some other way. No, the context is finances. It says, and then speaks to the church in Corinth that is wealthy. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So what he says here, especially in verse 9, he says that people knew the grace of God, and therefore they were rich financially. They knew the grace of God, and they were rich financially. Man, isn't that awesome? So the more you know grace, and what is grace concerning money? The Bible says by grace we have been saved through faith. So what's going to save you from your poverty is the grace of God. So what's going to save you? What is the grace of God concerning money? That He was rich and then He became poor for our sake, so that we through His poverty and through what He went through in losing every a thread of clothing He even had when He hanged upon that cross, so that we through what happened to Him might be made rich. Hallelujah. And now how do we have access to grace? Now let's go to Romans chapter 5. And we just look at how we have access into the grace that enriches us. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By faith, we have access into the grace of God. Now, what is faith? Faith is a full persuasion. That's all. If you are fully persuaded and believe with all your heart that Jesus became poor, He was rich, He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich, my friend, you've got access into the divine influence in your heart, the acting out in the life that includes gratitude. So God will divinely influence your heart, your belief system by the word of grace. He will divinely bring finances to you as you are persuaded of the simple teaching. But what more must I do, Bertie? There's nothing to do. Believe. Believe and be blessed. Abraham believed God and then he was blessed. And after he was blessed, he gave out of his abundance. Isn't that awesome? Now that is what God has got for you as well. Amen. Now I want to pray for everybody that struggles financially. I believe your time for prosperity has come as you have listened to this word and where you can prosper out of this. Father, I speak over every person that's got poverty. I speak over every person that prospers. I say that the true prosperity of God, the prosperity that comes because of grace, manifests over you as you believe this word in simplicity. Amen. Thank you that you've listened. Please make use of our ministry products and just send us your praise report or prayer request to the number on the screen. God bless you.